we go.
Jake and Josh are here to analyze the game they love for the team they love.
This is another Dolphins podcast.
Here's your host, Jake Mendel and Josh Houts.
Thank you for tuning into another edition of another Dolphins podcast. Join me to preview week one between the Dolphins and Jaguars is Gus Logue, editor of SB Nation's Big Cat Country. Gus, we made it to football season. How are you doing today?
I'm great, Jake. I can't believe there's only one more sleep until football starts again. I mean, we've got Thursday night football tomorrow, and then Friday night after that, I'm definitely fired up. Offseason is always fun to kind of come up with hypotheticals and predictions, but definitely excited to get the actual games going.
This offseason, especially covering a team, was a bit tiresome, especially for the quarterback contract-hungry teams. So let's start right at the top there. Tua Tagovailoa got his big contract extension, but so did Trevor Lawrence. And this was somebody who 9-8 last year, playoff appearance 2 years ago. I'd love just to get your thoughts entering the 2024 season, not only what you feel about that contract, but just moving forward in the progression of Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, I think the contract was kind of a no-brainer. I mean, the way that kind of quarterback contracts go a lot of the time is just like, especially in recent years, you almost get like a dollar more than just whatever the last big contract was. Yes. So that was kind of what Trevor's was like. And so like he's definitely in that like top 10 to 12-ish range without a doubt. And so you pay those guys, especially because he was a little bit banged up last year, but like it's not like he has like any injury concerns or off-the-field concerns. He's definitely their franchise guy. And so I think anyone should be able to see that. But then me personally, I'm definitely a big fan of his game. And I think that he's been a little bit underrated just because he's landed in Jacksonville and they had back-to-back number one picks. And so it's a roster that's been kind of slowly built up over time. But I think now they finally have the pieces for Lawrence to kind of like take the next step into more of like the top 6 to 8 quarterback range. And I'm mostly confident about that happening because of the addition of Brian Thomas Jr. in the first round. I don't think he's necessarily going to be offensive rookie of the year or a Pro Bowler or anything like that, but I think that just his speed alone opening up the rest of the offense for Jacksonville is going to be huge right away.
It seemed like there was a bit, I don't know if disconnect is the right word, but just with Calvin Ridley, it just, I don't know if things are really meshing as well. I kind of think back to the Dolphins when they brought in Mike Wallace just to give Ryan Tannehill someone. Like you understand the talent and you see how it could work, but I don't think it necessarily got there. As you look into a new year, and it's been that way with the Mike McDaniel and the Miami Dolphins offense, you see more of the vision. So was there maybe a deficiency you look at that 2023 team that should be looking completely different this year when you look at this Jacksonville Jaguar offense?
Yeah, it's definitely the red zone for them. I mean, the short yardage situations. Red zone and short yardage is where they struggled last year. But red zone can be a little bit like fluky and just kind of like fluctuate from year to year. And so hopefully they'll be able to kind of like regress in positive direction in that area. But for the short yardage concerns, especially short yardage runs, that was definitely kind of like the biggest blemish for their 2023 season, other than kind of a lot of varying injuries. And so they made like a specific upgrade to the interior offensive line by swapping out former third round pick Luke Fortner and replacing him with Mitch Morse, who was cut by the Bills this offseason. But he has previous experience with Doug Peterson going back to their Kansas City days. Morse was originally drafted by the Chiefs. And so you've got that upgrade at the center position. And then I think the running game is also going to be a little bit different. I think the Jags were a very shotgun oriented team last year. And part of that was because of the various injuries. But I think this year they want to be under center more and try to major a little bit more in outside zone, because they were a very diverse scheme last year and even really going back to the past 2 years under Doug Peterson. But they almost got like too diverse for their own good and what really like excel in any one thing. So I think they're trying to make their run game a little bit more kind of just like basic and simplified this year.
Would that open up more opportunities for someone like Tank Bigsby? That kind of felt like over the last couple of years, it was like you're telling Travis Etienne to go out and just kind of be a superhero, it felt like.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's kind of for both Clemson guys, Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne have kind of had to like put on the superhero cape for the Jaguars passing and rushing offense respectively. And so Etienne definitely has been a little bit run into the ground the past 2 years. He's had 3 years in the NFL. The first year he suffered a Lisfranc injury, and so he hasn't finished a season fully healthy. And so the Jaguars are excited about Tank Bigsby, partly because they're excited about Tank Bigsby, but I think even more than that, just because they want to make sure they're kind of curbing Etienne's touches. And I think Etienne will definitely still like finish top 10 or 12 in touches among all running backs and certainly be very involved. But if they can get Tank like 5 or 6 touches at least, just to kind of curb Etienne's workload a little bit, that's definitely their hope.
When looking at the Jaguars passing attack, I mean, I'm sure you saw, but there was that video where it was every dropped Trevor Lawrence touchdown from the 2023 season. What are your thoughts on something like that? Did it really feel like it was that odds weren't going your way, or was there a little bit of a flair added to that? What were your thoughts when you really kind of went back and looked at how that Jaguars offense, you know, progressed?
Yeah, it's just kind of a head scratcher. It was just weird vibes. Like, they even start out the season 8-3 going into a primetime matchup with the Bengals, and then Lawrence and Christian Kirk got hurt in that game. The season kind of unraveled from there. But even when they were 8-3 and in really good position to get a top 2 seed in the AFC, it just didn't really feel like they were winning games cleanly. And a large part of that was the offensive miscues with like drops and fumbles. Tank Bigsby specifically, they tried to get him going, but it felt like he turned the ball over every other time he touched the ball. And so there was definitely kind of like a lot of just ugly mishaps in the offense. And so looking back on it, it's just like a feeling of uncertainty, because you're supposed to have confidence in this offensive side of the ball for Jacksonville, considering they have a former first overall pick in Trevor Lawrence and a former Super Bowl winning head coach in Doug Peterson. But I'm sure we'll get to the defense in a second. But honestly, the vibes in Jacksonville right now are there's more confidence in the defensive side.
Oh, that's super interesting. I have one more question here about the offense. It seemed like in the last few years, the bread and butter, the engine that really makes this offense click, you got Christian Kirk on one side who can eat up yards over the middle. And the same thing is true for people who don't follow fantasy football. Your eyes might actually pop out of your head if you see someone like Evan Ingram. He had 143 targets last season. So I look at that as like the matchup to watch here, just because those guys are so consistent over the middle. And the Miami Dolphins are bringing in a new scheme with first-year defensive coordinator with Anthony Weaver. You have David Long Jr., his second year in Miami, but you also have former Seahawks linebacker Jordan Brooks. Those are going to be the guys surveying the middle of the field. I'm curious to get your thoughts on what maybe the X factor could be in that matchup for the Jaguars offense, for that Dolphins defense, because my eyes just look at the middle of the field there.
Yeah, I think that's a good bet, especially because the Jaguars haven't really been super efficient or target heavy in terms of going to the middle of the field, but when they do, it typically works. And so I think Evan Engram and Gabe Davis are both guys to look out for that specific area, because Engram, part of the reason he got 143 targets or whatever it was last year is that, especially after the Christian Kirk Week 13 injury, he was just used in a super low average depth of target role, and it was really like a true security blanket, the way that you hear tight ends described. But I think now that there's more depth in the wide receiver room, Engram is looking forward to. He's brought this up multiple times on his own this offseason that he wants to be utilized down the field a little bit more. And so I think maybe we could see a couple like seam shots or using him like more down the field, but it's still over the middle, like you were suggesting. And then Gabe Davis, I think he was kind of a little bit pigeonholed in Buffalo as like just a vertical threat guy. And the Jags have that in Brian Thomas. And so I think Gabe Davis certainly isn't going to be a world beater or anything, but I think he could actually be a little bit more effective than people are expecting, especially as kind of like a intermediate level of the field, backside dig, in breaking routes kind of guy. So I would say Engram and Gabe Davis for sure to look out for there.
Just for my own personal knowledge here, it's Christian Kirk still the 1A as a fantasy football guy? Am I in a good spot there saying he's the guy?
I would say so. Honestly, the Jaguars offense spreads the ball out a ton, and part of it is design by design, but part of it is that they don't really have a Tyreek Hill or a Justin Jefferson or anything like that. And so it's a little bit tough to tell with great accuracy like where they're really going to focus each game. But I definitely expect Christian Kirk to finish the season like leading the team across the board in all receiving categories.
You don't have to look too far on the Jaguars depth chart to realize there are two first round picks right there on that defensive line. So I'm just going to kind of tee that up there. I don't think it's any surprise. One of the best known things about the Miami Dolphins is they don't care about, quote unquote, don't care about the interior of the offensive line. So as you've been kind of thinking about this matchup for, I don't know, 4 months, and you consider the fact that the Jags have these two stout defensive ends in Josh Allen Hines and Trayvon Walker, this had to be the what you had pretty excited about this matchup.
Absolutely. Yeah, the Jaguars have been kind of, as I was mentioning earlier, slowly accumulating talent, and especially on the defensive side with, you know, the two former first-rounders and Josh Hines-Allen and Trayvon Walker. And then Tyson Campbell was the 33rd overall pick a couple years ago. He landed an extension this offseason. I think Andre Sisko is a guy that they were thinking about giving an extension to this offseason, but they just want to see a little bit more out of him. Foye Oluokun has led the league in tackles for at least the past two or three seasons in a row, or combined at least. And so they've got a lot of star power over there, but they're just like hoping to be able to unleash all that athleticism with better technique and better coaching. And so that's why they brought in Ryan Nielsen to be their new defensive coordinator. He has only called plays for one season, and it was in Atlanta last year. And so he's still relatively fresh and kind of new at kind of leading a defensive unit and just calling plays. But in terms of the coaching and the technique, and especially on the defensive line, because he was kind of raised in Dennis Allen's Saints defense, and they've got Cameron Jordan and a bunch of kind of freaks on their own defensive line. And so, yeah, the defensive line and really the front seven in general, seeing how aggressive they're able to play is definitely something that we're looking forward to in Jacksonville.
Now, how did this group only get 40 sacks last year when you think about those edge rushers? It just seems like one of those things where I don't know if it's you instantly just combine the idea of first round picks and sacks and the production there. But what was kind of the issue for this unit last year?
Yeah, it's actually a pretty easy answer. It's just depth. I mean, Josh Hines-Allen and Trayvon Walker actually combined for the most sacks of any edge rusher duo in the league last season. And so they just didn't really get anything behind them. And then Caleb on Chaseon, which is a first round bust. And then Dwayne Smoot, who was actually a really good player, but unfortunately tore his Achilles two seasons ago. They both left in the offseason. And then the Jaguars signed Travis Gibson, which is a nice under-the-radar pickup from the Titans. But they actually traded him to the Seahawks last week for, I believe it's a future sixth-round pick. And so the depth is still very much a concern because there's just not really a lot of noteworthy names behind Hines-Allen and Walker. But I think one thing to look out for, especially in week one in the season opener, is Eric Armstead, because he was signed this offseason to be just another dynamic physical presence on that front seven. But I think he's essentially going to be their third edge pass rusher. Like, I think part of the reason that he came to Jacksonville as a free agent was that he was told he was going to be able to get more opportunities off of the edge. So, again, like, he's another guy where I don't think he's going to have like a crazy successful year, but it'll be interesting to see how much success he has on the interior where he's played for the first 9 years of his career in San Francisco, as opposed to playing more on the edge.
And I love the addition of Ryan Nielsen, because this was a situation where he only had one opportunity because the Atlanta Falcons hired Raheem Morris, a defensive-minded defensive head coach. Excuse me. Jumbled the words there. But when you do that, you're obviously going to bring in your own coaching staff. So that brought in the opportunity for Nielsen to make his way down to Jacksonville. I love the test that this gives the Miami Dolphins rushing attack here, that spread zone they like to run there, getting Raheem Mostert and especially Devon Achane out wide. But I'm curious to see how the Miami Dolphins attack this defense, because even switching up schemes, a new defensive coordinator, this is a unit that was top 10 in rushing yards allowed last season. So I kind of turn my attention to what you're thinking with this Jaguars secondary look like. They added former Packers safety Darnell Savage. Ravens cornerback Ronald Darby is also in the mix. Is there any concern about, you know, getting some new guys in the mix, a new system, and then you got to face the fastest wide receiver duo in the league come week one?
Yeah, I think there's definitely a concern there in terms of just new guys and a new system. And you're playing Mike McDaniel in week one. He always comes up with something new in the offseason. And so it's kind of a tough draw for the season opener. But with that said, I actually feel pretty good about the way that the Jaguars' passing defense matches up, just because they're very heavy press coverage defense, whether that's man or zone. I mean, most of the time they technically do like zone match patterns and concepts and stuff like that on the back end. But Ryan Nielsen is also one of those defensive coordinators who, kind of similar to Mike McDonald, he's really good at kind of like using two high structures and changing the picture post-snap, but really mostly with the press coverage, because I remember Brandon Staley's Chargers really gave the Dolphins fits with that type of style, just because the Dolphins' passing offense is so timing-based and like Tua is able to execute five-step drop concepts in just three steps. But if the Jaguars are actually able to press with success in week one and kind of throw off those timing concepts for Tua and a passing offense, then I think they could have a surprisingly good performance to start the season.
Would you have, let's say Sunday night and you're thumbing through the box score, who's one player you can kind of point your eyes to right away and say, this player, based on their performance, I think could dictate the outcome of this game. They could be a real X factor here.
That's a good question. I think for an under the radar one, I'll go with Devon Hamilton. He's their Jaguars' nose tackle, main defensive tackle. And so the Jaguars under Nielsen are transitioning from a 3-4 defense to a 4-3. And so, and then with like the two high safety structures, it's going to be vital for just like the first 6 or 7 guys on the Jaguars defense to be able to stop the run, because they're going to really rely on just how good their players and coaching and system is in that, like, kind of like the front of the defense, as opposed to filling the box with numbers. And so I think Devon Hamilton is a guy, especially where like, if he's able to kind of like take up two gaps and like do his job in terms of containing the Miami run game, even if Miami is more focused on running like outside of the tackles or outside in general, if Devon Hamilton is able to like really regain his 2022 form, because he had like a kind of a weird offseason back injury last year and wasn't quite the same player. So if he's able to regain his 2022 form and be a great run defender again from the jump, I think that'll go a long way.
Gus, I've learned so much. Thank you so much for letting me sneak behind enemy lines here. Can you tell our listeners where they can find you and maybe some of the projects you're working on?
Yeah. Like you said, I'm the editor for SB Nation's Big Cat Country, so you can check that out. I actually just started a new YouTube show called Duval Rundown for 1010XL, which is the Jaguars' flagship radio station. Awesome. So check that out on YouTube, and you can find me at Gus_Logue on Twitter.
Gus, thank you so much. You said it all. Best of luck this weekend, and hope to talk soon.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me, Jake. Good luck this year.